The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Well, guess what? I hadn't been recording over on my Audacity. Uh-oh. So I'm gonna have to do this intro one more time.
Okay. Yeah, I've been recording, but it only gets mine anyway. So
yeah.
Go for it, man.
Hey, Mr. Science Guy. Don't spray that aerosol in my eye. I don't really want to die. I'm a noble rabbit.
Where do you come up with this shit?
Hey, watch the language, little boy.
The whole fucking world's against us, dude. I swear to God.
Hello and welcome to an all-new episode of Just Another Fanboy, the podcast that took a couple of weeks off, then a couple more, and then 14 more weeks after that. I'm your host, my name is Steven, and yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a while.
Right, stop that.
Yeah, no, we're not going to have any of that in the episode this week. None of that at all. Anyway, the episode that you are about to listen to was actually recorded back on April 18th. It was a live stream I did with my Superman Super Show co-host and buddy Ed Moore, and it's taken me this long to finally work up the strength to put it all together. But here's the thing, it's pretty long. It's almost 2 hours long, so I have split it up into two separate episodes. The first one you're going to get today, and the second one you'll get next week. For this first one here that you're getting today, Ed and I play a little game, and it's important to know here, well, it's important to repeat the fact, I guess, that this one, again, was recorded back in April. You really need to know that, because the game Ed and I play is centered around our Superman Super Show one-year anniversary, which was, once again, back in April, and not in August, as this episode is coming out. So as you listen along to Ed and I having fun and playing the game and cracking wise and all that junk, and you start thinking to yourself,
well, hold on now. This is for their first full year of doing the Superman Super Show, but didn't that happen like 4 months ago?
Well, yeah, just know that it did happen 4 months ago in April when all of this was recorded. Not this part. This part you're listening to right at this very moment, these words that are coming out of my mouth, this was recorded in August, which just happens to be the same month that this episode is being released. But everything coming up was recorded in April, okay?
Yes, sir.
Are we clear,
Crystal?
Okay, then. I guess I feel like I have sufficiently beaten that dead horse. So without any more ado, I'm going to play just a bit of music, you know, kind of a super short transition piece, and then you'll hear me introduce the live episode. And I'm going to be teasing the idea of doing a live show or not, you know, going forward. It's really kind of dumb, and it doesn't actually resolve itself until I play you part two next week. But suffice it to say, there's no weekly live show, but you know that already, considering that everything you're about to hear and the tease that I make was recorded back in April. And there hasn't been a live show since. Anyway, here is part one of the only episode of Just Another Fanboy Live, which, one more time for those of you in the back, was recorded in April. Enjoy. All right. Hey, folks, welcome to the first and maybe only episode of Just Another Fanboy Live. I'm your host. My name is Steven. Why might this be the only episode of Just Another Fanboy Live? I am going to explain that to you here in just a moment. But first, let me introduce the guest that I have with me here today. He's my partner in hosting over there at the Superman Super Show. Ladies and gentlemen, 1,000 miles to my right, Mr. Ed Moore. There he is.
Howdy, folks. Glad to be here. Thank you. Longtime listener, first time caller, you know, all that stuff.
You know, I think when we talked, well, when we've been talking about you coming on to Just Another Fanboy, I kept, we hadn't decided on what we were going to talk about, right? We just,
right.
We'll just see where the night takes us. We'll just start right. talking and, you know, and I that's up until probably about 9 a.m. that had been the plan. But then I remembered that earlier in the life of Just Another Fanboy, as far as the second round, the round that we're doing right now, I used to do these live shows like November of 2020 through January of 2021. It's like every week or something I would have a guest on. I had like a couple of the guys from Half Hour Wasted. I talked to Michael Kill. And you know, I would do those live. And then eventually I made audio episodes out of them, and they're part of the Just Another Fanboy feed. And then the live videos are over there on YouTube. You can find them on the YouTube channel, which if you're watching this on YouTube, you're already on the channel. But one of the things I had done with a few of those guests, not many, to kind of pad the episode out a bit, I had created this little thing I called Steven's Game.
Okay.
And had them play. And for example, like when I had Brad Milo on from Half Hour Wasted, he was on and we talked about the second season of The Mandalorian. And we did that for like an hour, and then we went into the game, and it was basically all Star Wars stuff, Star Okay. Wars trivia, that kind of thing. So that's it. That's what I'm going to do here with you. It's not going to be Star Wars.
Okay.
But we're going to play a little thing called Steven's Game. And because as of today, the day that we are streaming live, you and I are actually celebrating a little anniversary. We, the podcast we do together, the Superman Super Show, it turned 1 year old today.
Yep.
And so what I thought I would do is create this thing that I call Steven's Game and, make it all about Golden Age Superman and primarily the stuff that we've read, you know, nothing that we haven't done yet. So
right.
That's what we're going to do right now.
Now we're going to see how bad my memory is.
See, that's what I think is going to be fun about it. See, now I'm not going to be playing the game with you. I'm like the host. So ultimately you are just competing against yourself.
Right. Really. Okay. Gotcha.
The game consists of three rounds. Each round is worth a number of points. And by the end of the game, you have the potential to earn 100 points.
Okay.
And when I had done this previously, I think I did it first with Frank A. Rincon from Half Hour Wasted. And then when I had Brad Milo on, we did it as well. And so they ended up kind of, you know, how did Frank do? I want to get a better score than Frank,
right.
Even though
okay.
Frank's was all tailored to The Simpsons and Brad's was all tailored to Star Wars. So are you ready to give this game a try?
No, let's go.
We're going to start with round one. I'm calling it Superman Super Trivia. So I'm going to give you five. We're going to go through five Golden Age Superman trivia questions. Each question is worth 5 points. So during round one, you have the potential to earn 25 points. They are going to be multiple choice. So makes it a little bit easier on you.
Okay.
And all right, let's do this. Here we go. Question number one. What was Jimmy Olsen's first job at the Daily Planet? Was it A, the janitor, B, the office boy, C, the photographer, or D, foreign correspondent?
Let's go with B, office boy.
B, office boy. That is correct. And actually, before we go any further, had to find a pin because I want to make sure I...
Tally
up your score. All right.
Hey,
question number two.
You're talking about anniversaries. There's another anniversary today.
Okay.
Action Number One came out.
Mm. Just that's right.
A couple years ago, but you know.
Yeah, number, because that was kind of the point when we, you know, you're the one that came up with the idea when we were talking about doing the Superman Super Show. I was ready to start it. I don't know what, almost a month earlier. And you said, well, wait a minute, isn't there anniversary coming up here in April? And why don't we kick off episode one on that anniversary? Now, since then, I've learned that anniversary date. What is today? Is it the 18th?
16th.
April 8th.
Or 18th.
Yeah, April 18th. That's kind of a hotly contested.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. You ready for question number two?
Let's go.
What was the original name of the Daily Planet? Was it the Daily Star? B, the Daily Mail? C, the Daily Sun? Or D, the Daily Rios?
Peter, are you out there? Help. let's go with the... A, the Daily Star?
It is A, the Daily Star.
All right.
By the way, if you haven't picked up on it yet, another tip for you is that D is always going to be a joke answer.
And Parton picked the Daily Rios, by the way, so he would have missed that one. So
fun. See, because I'm sharing the this presentation, I can't see the comments right now, so I won't be able to see them until we're done with the game. All right, question number three. The co-creator and original artist of Superman, Joe Shuster, modeled the Metropolis skyline after what city? Is it A, Montreal, B, Toronto, C, Quebec, or D, a combination of all three?
I think I'll go with B, Toronto.
And you are correct. B, Toronto.
All right.
So far, you got 3 out of 3.
No doubt.
Question number four. The Ultra Humanite has his brain transplanted into the body of which actress? Is it A, Dolores Claiborne, B, Dolores Fuller, C, Dolores Winters, or D, Bette Midler?
Well, you know, if it was Bette Midler, that would explain quite a bit about her, but I don't think it was Bette Midler. Let's go with C, Dolores Winters.
C, Dolores Winters. Good job so far.
I'm kind of surprised myself. I was hoping that you would go with other first names because I remembered her first name was Dolores.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
that's okay. Why I did that.
It's not Kathy. It's not Eustace. It's, oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't want to make it too easy for you. All right. Here's the final question in round one. What is the name of the Daily Star's rival newspaper? Is it A, the Morning Edition, B, the Morning Star, C, the Morning Pictorial, or D, Good Morning America?
Let's go with B, the Morning Star.
Oh, I'm sorry, that is incorrect.
The Pictorial, boo.
So for round one, you got 20 out of the 25 points.
All right.
Okay, round two. This is something I'm calling Action Comics or Superman. This one's going to be pretty easy because really it's a 50-50 type of thing here.
Okay.
I'm going to show you five scenes from that I randomly shows from the various Golden Age Superman comics that we have read in our first year. Your job then is going to have to determine, did it come out of Action Comics or did it come out of Superman? Now, again, this is going to be kind of a 50-50 thing, really. And I'm actually not only going to show you the scene, I'm also going to give you the title of the story.
Ooh, okay.
Each one of these are also 5 points each. So for round two, you, like round one, you have the potential to earn 25 points. Ready?
Yep.
Here we go. Carnahan's heir. Is this from Action Comics or from Superman?
Let's go Action Comics.
Action Comics number 24.
Right.
Do you remember this one at all?
I don't remember the title, but I do remember the scene.
The millionaire that was dying and asked Superman to mentor his son, who was a drunkard and a gambler.
Yep.
That's a pretty good one. All right, so that's 5 points so far.
Well, that's fairly recent, too.
Yeah. Luther's Incense Menace. Is this an Action Comic story or a Superman story?
I'll go Action Comics.
Oh, this comes out of Superman number 5.
Okay.
Yeah. This is the one where Luther put like some kind of addictive controlling substance in this incense.
Right. Yeah.
Clark would go and interview people and it smells similar than all the other places I've been. All right. Next one. Wanted Superman. Is this from Action Comics or from Superman?
I'll go Superman.
This is Action Comics number 9.
Okay. My 50-50 is not working.
Do you remember this story, though? Very early on, Superman had basically pissed off the government.
So he
became like one of America's most wanted. And then this policeman, detective from another city, came in to capture him.
Right. Yes. Okay.
All right. Superman Champions Universal Peace. Is this an Action Comics or a Superman comic?
Let's go Superman.
Superman issue number 2. I don't quite remember this one. I think this is the one with the guys who were selling weapons. I that's about all I can remember. I don't remember this one all that well.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's not bringing anything to mind for me either.
Okay, so that was 5 points. All right, last one for this round. The Economic Enemy. Is this from Action Comics or from Superman?
Action Comics.
Superman number 4.
Hey.
This one, you know.
2 for 5.
I said it was going to be easy because it was just a 50-50, but I don't know that I would have been guessing on all 5 of those as well. I wouldn't have known. The Luther one, maybe, because I feel like most of the Luther stories came out of Superman, but I know some of them were in Action Comics as well. All right, so that takes us to our third and final round, which I'm calling Pick That Quip. Okay. So this is going to be my favorite one. So as we both know, Superman in the Golden Age can be rather quippy. And so what I've done is I've picked 5 panels, 1 panel from 5 different stories, basically, in which Superman is quipping. But I've taken the text out of the word balloon.
Oh, no.
Now, okay. I haven't made this impossible for you. So here's what I'm going to do. Your job will be to determine what he's saying, what his quip is. But I'm going to tell you which story it came out of. I'm going to tell you which issue that story came out of. I'm going to tell you which episode we talked about that story. I'm going to give you the episode description that's out there on the internet for the episode. I'm going to give you a little backstory so you can get some context as far as why he's doing what he's doing in the panel, but I'm also going to make this multiple choice. I'm going to give you 4 quips to choose from for each panel, and you have to choose the one.
Okay.
Each one of these is worth 10 points. So this is the big round. You could earn up to 50 points in this round.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Panel number 1. This panel comes from the story in Action Comics number 21. And the story was Superman and the Atomic Disintegrator. We talked about this story in episode number 30 back on November 28th, 2022. And I should mention that the dates are the dates that the episode was released, not the date that we recorded the episode. So here is the episode description that I had put out there when I posted the episode. A scientist invents a powerful weapon in his apartment. The Ultra-Humanite uses a cat to steal the weapon, and Superman fights a pair of robots. So the backstory here to this panel is that Superman is being blackmailed by the Ultra-Humanite, and he is sent into town to steal the crown jewels. And he's doing this in exchange for the man who invented the atomic disintegrator, who Ultra has kidnapped.
Okay.
So Superman heads into town, and then the Ultra-Humanite narcs him out to the cops. What we got going on here is Superman is hanging from a window ledge as the cops open fire, shooting him in the back. So pick the quip. Is Superman saying, "The mosquitoes sure are aggressive around here. Thanks, fellas. I've been needing a good back massage. I wish you'd stop shooting bullets at me. I'm ticklish." Or, "I'm going to come down there and kill every single one of you."
Let's go with, "Thanks, fellas. I've been needing a good back massage."
Incorrect. "I wish you'd stop shooting bullets at me. I'm ticklish." All right. Here's panel number 2. This comes from the story, The Challenge of Luther, from Superman issue number 4. We talked about this story on episode number 33 on December 19th of 2022. And here is the episode description. Luther challenges Superman to 3 contests: one of speed, one of strength, and one of resistance to injury. But does Luther have an ulterior motive? The backstory here is that Luther and his minions have kidnapped Professor Martinson for reasons I actually don't remember. But to get Professor Martinson back, Superman accepts a challenge from Luther to compete in various tests to see which is better: Luther's brain or Superman's brawn. Superman wins each of the contests, and as the text in the panel states, seizing Martinson, Superman leaps back toward the city. And then as you can see, Martinson, who is tucked under Superman's arm, declares, "Ah, I must be dreaming." So pick the quip. What is Superman saying? "With your eyes wide open? Do you want me to pinch you? Tell the Sandman I said hi. Or, I'm going to kill you."
Do you want me to pinch you?
No, with your eyes wide open.
Okay.
Such a dumb one. It's so stupid.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, panel number 3. I'm sure you recognize this one.
Oh yeah.
This panel comes from the story, The Campaign Against the Planet, from Superman issue number 5. We talked about this on episode number 42 from February 20th of this year. And here's the episode description. It's newspaper against newspaper as war breaks out in Metropolis. Can Superman protect the Daily Planet from an evil politician turned media mogul? The backstory here is that gangsters have just snatched Lois Lane, and tossing her in their car, they speed away. Superman then leaps forward and grabs hold of the bottom of the car, riding along underneath. And as the text in the panel states, as the auto climbs a curb at the end of its journey, Superman's head bumps against the curb, smashing it. So, pick the quip. Is Superman saying, just a good scalp massage? Just doing my part to fix potholes? I've always been hard-headed? Or, I'm going to kill this road?
How about just a good scalp massage?
Yes!
Right.
10 points. All right, panel number 4. This panel comes from Action Comics number 27. The story is Brentwood Home or Wayward Youth.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this on episode 47, just back on March 27th. And here's the episode description. Lois and Clark investigate the Brentwood Home for Wayward Youth. Lois is thrown in a cell, and Superman leaves a dog in a tree. The backstory here is that Superman has just entered the grounds of the Brentwood Home for Wayward Youth. When the guard dog, bonus points, do you remember the guard dog's name?
Rufus.
Black Satan! Leaps upon his back. And as the text in the panel states, ferociously the hound bites at Superman. But to its puzzlement, its sharp fangs leave no impression upon the Man of Steel's super tough skin. So, pick the quip. Is Superman saying, you need a ticket for this ride? Now, don't get discouraged. Don't break your teeth. Or, I'm going to kill this dog.
Let's try, now don't get discouraged.
Correct.
All right.
All right, last one. This is for all the bacon.
Now, this was the one where they had all the stuff in the basement?
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, I could have done all 5 quips just from that one story.
Wow. Yeah, that was...
It was a pretty crazy one. All right, this panel comes from Action Comics number 19. The story was Superman and the Purple Plague. We talked about this on episode number 26 back in October, October 10th, 2022, and here is the episode description. People in Metropolis turn purple and then die. What or who could be behind the Purple Plague, and how can Superman put a stop to it? So the backstory here is that a scientist named Travers has created an antidote for the Purple Plague, but then he's kidnapped. Superman is attacked while trying to rescue Travers, and as the text in the panel states, wading into the terrified muscle man, Superman flings them about as if they were bowling pins. So, pick the quip. Is Superman saying, oh, they fly through the air with the greatest of ease. Round and round they go, where they stop, nobody knows. Hang on, boys, I'm taking you for a ride. Or, I'm going to kill all 3 of you.
Hang on, boys, I'm taking you for a ride.
Oh, that is incorrect. Oh, boo. They fly through the air with the greatest of ease.
Boo.
So that's it. That's the game. Let's see. You
50 points.
50 points.
50 out of 100.
You got a 50%, brother.
Yep.
That was fun.
That shows you I just read them and move on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I I think I would have done fine in the trivia round. But the rest of them, I don't know that I would have done that great, especially the quip round. I mean, some of those aren't easy, but it was fun.
Yep.
I do have one other thing that I was going to do if you're interested.
Okay.
I subscribe to a news feed. Do you remember those? Mm-hmm. Where you could, any type of news website, you add it to the feed and then it gives you the news stories.
Right.
One of them that I subscribe to is from one particular segment of the Huffington Post that only puts weird news.
Okay.
And so I looked through some headlines over the last couple of months and I picked out the top three weird news stories of the last couple of months.
Okay.
Now, you know, one thing I neglected to say at the very beginning of this is that I had, you know, for about a year now, I've been kind of thinking about how I wanted to, over on Stephen or Else on that YouTube channel, once a month, maybe do like a live stream on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning, have a guest on. And I've just never done anything with it. So this episode kind of is a test.
Okay.
For that. Some stuff that maybe I thinking about doing. Chris Parton in the comments there has said that he's got to up his PowerPoint game.
Well, Chris, if you ever get back to podcasting, dog, you need to brush up there and be ready for it. You know,
that's podcasting you. All right. I'm going to pull these notes up here on my screen. Headline number three. So this is the top three. Cooked bats seized by German officials near Belgian border. So these stories are very short. I'm going to read each of these stories. And after each one, we'll kind of discuss. And then you can tell me after we go through the three, if you agree in my order.
Okay.
So this comes out of Berlin. German officials seized cooked bats. And nearly a ton of unrefrigerated fish after police stopped a van that had entered the country from Belgium. Federal police said a patrol stopped the vehicle at a highway exit on the edge of the border city of Aachen. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. And found the bats under the fish. A vet from the local consumer protection office was sent to the scene and ordered the bats and fish confiscated. Police seized the van, which was uninsured. The 31-year-old driver, an Ivorian citizen, faced a criminal complaint for traffic offenses and unauthorized entry because he entered the country without papers or a driver's license, police said in a statement. He also faces administrative proceedings for violations of food hygiene rules, and local authorities were looking into whether he violated conservation laws regarding the bats. A court in Aachen ordered the driver held in police custody pending his handover to authorities in Italy, where he was registered as living.
Okay.
Not sure why a guy's driving around with a bunch of cooked bats underneath unrefrigerated fish.
That would be an interesting story. I wonder if maybe he was trying to get from point A to point B quickly enough, and that's why the fish weren't refrigerated.
Yeah.
Now, why he would hide cooked bats under the fish, unless there are specially trained bat sniffing dogs and the fish was intended to throw them off, you know.
Makes you feel like he knew that having cooking bats, just killing the bats probably would get him in trouble.
Yep.
All right. Number two, news story number two. Another funeral home discovers woman presumed dead is still alive. Another funeral home. So that means that there's been at least one other that this has happened to. So this is out of Miller Place, New York. An 82-year-old woman was pronounced dead at a New York nursing home, but found to be breathing 3 hours later at the funeral home where she had been taken. The woman was pronounced dead at Water's Edge Rehab and Nursing Center at Port Jefferson on Long Island on 11:15 a.m. The woman, whose name was not released, was taken to the O.B. Davis Funeral Home in Miller Place at 1:30 p.m., and she was discovered breathing at 2:09 p.m. The woman was taken to a hospital. No update on her condition was available as of the time of this article. The apparent premature declaration of death occurred days after a continuing care home in Iowa was fined $10,000 over a similar incident. Authorities in Iowa said that a 66-year-old woman was declared dead on January 3rd at the Glen Oaks Alzheimer's Special Care Center in Urbandale, where she was receiving hospice care. The woman was placed in a body bag and taken to the Ankeny Funeral Home and Crematory, where workers found that she was breathing and called 911. She was returned to hospice care, where she died on January 5th. The New York case has been referred to the state attorney general's office for investigation. An email seeking comment was sent to the nursing home, but a person who answered the phone there hung up. Officials at the funeral home told Newsday on Sunday, out of respect for the privacy and confidentiality of the families, we are honored to serve. We are not in a position to comment further on this matter. What do you think about that one?
Well, I do know that my wife, at times, when we're asleep, she will wake up for whatever reason, and being concerned that, you know, her moving around or whatever has woken me also, she realizes that it didn't, but then also realizes that I'm not breathing. So she'll reach over and put her hand on my chest, and it turns out that I breathe so shallow when I sleep that it, on casual observation, I mean, the lights are out and just light through the window and whatever. She can't tell necessarily that I'm laying there breathing. So perhaps even more so with old people on hospice, who is like, well, they're definitely seeing the light at the end of that tunnel if they're in hospice. You know, maybe that's what's happening there. Now, you would think that a trained person would be able to tell someone who is breathing from someone who is not. It's, I would think that's part of the training, because that's kind of an important distinction, you know.
Taking the pulse and all that stuff.
Something, you know, but I don't know, you know, it may be in the middle of the night and it's a, what they used to refer to as like candy striper or, you know, somebody like that that's volunteering or something, and they're not specially trained, and maybe it's kind of icky touching dead people anyway. You know, I mean, I could perhaps, but none of that, though, is really a an excuse for why it should happen, because really it shouldn't.
Chris commented on the live stream. Who, me? Podcast again? Never. Probably, definitely.
Oh, so Chris is going to podcast again sometime, huh?
I hope so.
All I see him talking about is wanting to give away his comics just so he can get more Boom Books.
Dude's got, it's like he's got a Boom addiction.
Addiction, yeah, I don't know.
Hey-o! In case anybody's curious, Chris did a podcast with Ed called Boom Addiction.
Boom Addiction, yeah, it was,
I had to, it's never funny when you have to explain the joke. All right, here's the number one headline. Rough day for man driving stolen school bus with dead deer inside.
Okay.
A man in York County, Pennsylvania, was arrested after allegedly leading officers on two separate vehicle chases in two counties. It all began after Pennsylvania state troopers stopped a BMW with a Florida plate and questioned the driver, Tony Saunders. Local station WGAL reported that troopers said that they could see items in the car Saunders was driving that appeared to be from a nearby convenience store where a theft had been reported. However, Saunders reportedly told police he got the items at a junkyard. There was also reportedly a dog in the vehicle and a dead deer in the trunk. Saunders allegedly drove away when troopers asked him to exit the vehicle and turned off his headlights during the chase to avoid detection. He reportedly had to leave the BMW when he wasn't
able to maneuver the car over some railroad tracks. He then allegedly ran into a heavily wooded area. Later that morning, law enforcement agencies were notified that a school bus had been stolen in Abbottstown, according to Carroll Township Police. Carroll Township police officers first spotted the bus at a shopping center parking lot and eventually caught up with it. The driver pulled over briefly, but then pulled away and kept driving. The driver then allegedly led officers on a chase that ended after he abandoned the bus and ran away on foot while stripping off his clothes. Police apprehended and identified the driver as Saunders, who allegedly admitted he had stolen the school bus after crashing the BMW. He also allegedly claimed that he intended to use the dead deer carcass to fertilize his garden. Saunders remains in York County prison in lieu of $100,000 bail.
Okay, did he steal the BMW? Probably, because
I think,
it had a Florida
plate. I think
plate.
So, yeah. Yeah.
So he stole the BMW, hit up a convenience store, stole some stuff from there, saw a dead deer on the side of the road, more than likely, grabbed it up to put in his trunk. Because he is poor and was going to eat the deer. That's also why he stole the convenience store things.
Yeah, I would have to assume, because when he abandons the BMW, because he crashed it or wrecked it trying to get across the railroad tracks, he then transfers that dead deer from the BMW into the school bus. So
he wanted that deer.
Oh, yeah. And it makes you wonder, was the school bus close to where he abandoned it? You know, did he drag this deer through the woods until he found something that he could steal, this, i.e. the school bus? That's,
well, yeah, he almost would have had to, because I doubt they would have just left the car where it was. They would have towed it to an impound. He wouldn't have known where that impound lot was, more than likely. So he ditched the Beamer, dragging the deer away somewhere, maybe, and then stashed it, went to look for another vehicle, found the bus, came to where the deer was, loaded it up, tried to take off.
Yeah.
I surmise. I don't know. Those are weird stories.
Yeah. I enjoy weird news stories. Sometimes all I need to see is the headlines.
Mm-hmm.
Because the headlines by themselves are often just pretty good.
Do you listen to the podcast that Cullen Bunn does with his wife, Cindy?
No.
Okay, you know Cullen Bunn by name?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Does a podcast. It was much more regular until here. Post-COVID, things have kind of broken down as far as them having the time to do it. But they've released like one or two episodes in like maybe the last year. So it's still a thing that they want to do, but they just haven't fit it back into the new schedule that post-COVID has for all of us. But one of the segments that Cindy does is weird things in the news.
Fun.
So she does kind of similar headlines, but I think she kind of looks for things that sound even freakier as far as the headline. These are kind of sedate compared to some of the weird things she digs up. I don't know where she looks, but
I had originally started following that feed because one of the 9 or 12 times I rebooted the Stephen Orell's podcast, I was doing like a headline for the week.
Okay.
And I wanted it to be not necessarily current events, because stories like this they don't have to be current to enjoy talking about them. Right.
Right.
So, you'd put in a Google search for weird news and you just drop down a rabbit hole.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah.
You know, some fun stuff out there.
Yep. Yeah. Trust me. I working at 911, I've had my personal share with, oddness.
I bet my, best friend from high school, who I played in a number of bands with, his wife is a dispatcher.
Yeah, that's my day job. Is I'm the map person for our county's 911, but I also am cross trained to fill in dispatch if they get in a bind. So
cool. I know she really likes it. She's been there for years and years and years. So
she would have to be probably a unique person to really say she likes it. You know, not that she doesn't like it, but it can be.
She tolerates it enough that she hasn't sought out others.
Sure, sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that far and away, as far as having a job, the aspects of it are very positive. There's just, you know, those one or two things that you run into as a phone dispatcher that you really don't run into those situations doing most any other kind of job. And they can be the things that start to haunt you over time. So,
yeah. I used to, one of my, probably the second, you know, they say back in our grandparents' days, they had, one career in their lifetime. And these days folks can, count on having an average of five.
Okay.
So my second career, I was, worked at a call center for the free application for federal student aid.
Ooh.
You've ever had FAFSA? To fill one of those out? The FAFSA.
Yeah. Ooh.
And so we would basically, our company had this contract with the Department of Education, and the phone number that was on the FAFSA that you could call for questions on how to fill it out or just to get the school code for the school you wanted, you know, back 20 years ago when you just, you know. I remember when they started doing the application online, we got a ton of questions there. But the one call that I remember over any of them was a dude who was filling out his FAFSA, and he didn't like the fact that it asked for his social security number.
Okay.
And unfortunately, that's the, you know, the social security number is required.
Yeah,
it's used to file your FAFSA. That's, you know, blah, 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 and all this stuff. And he tells me that the problem is he doesn't have a social security number. He did have one, but he hates the American government so much that this is what he claimed, somehow managed to have his name taken off of the Social Security Administration's records, which, no, he didn't do that. But the one question I wanted to ask him was, because he's like, I just don't want to have anything to do with the American government ever again. So I had my number taken off the Social Security Administration's records. And I said, well, you're asking the American government for
money
to go to school. So which is it, buddy?
Yep. You apparently don't hate them enough. So.
Right. Yeah. And then you always get at least once a week, because we would have a lot of parents calling in who were filling out the application for their student. Okay. And they had to be able to provide you with like social security number, date of birth of the student before we could give them any information off of that application.
Oh, okay.
You know, because we could look up the application and see everything on it. And invariably, at least once a week, more often than that, probably, there was a parent who they didn't have that information in front of them. But God damn it, they wanted that information. It's their information on that thing. I'm sorry, I can't give it to you without that. You're the American government. Because they just always assumed that we were a government agency and we weren't. And so they would always say something like, you're the American government. You can do whatever you want. And again, I wanted to say, well, if that's true, why are you trying to piss me off?
No doubt.
Because then I can do all kinds of stuff to you if what you're thinking is true.
I could just nuke you from here, sir. If that were the case, you know,
And then I think the other thing that always made me laugh about that was, you know, if your student is considered a dependent on their parents, and of course the parents' financial information is taken into consideration. Yep. And so we would get calls from these parents that would say, "Well, it says here that I'm not eligible. My student's not eligible for a Pell Grant."
Right.
It's like, man, that's what we're seeing too, but he didn't make any money. It's like, well, it's based on your income as well. And, you know, it says here that you've got blah, 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 blah. And two, you know, you own two homes and all this stuff. And they're basically like, well, but that's an investment. I don't actually have that money. And I'd have to explain to him, look, the Department of Education
their stance is, if you have a home that you can sell to pay for your kid's education,
there you go.
They want you to do that before they're going to give you free money.
That's it.
And it was always the people with a lot of money who would get really upset that they weren't getting any free money.
Now, you bring this up, and it's interesting because my final, 2 years of undergraduate work and all 3 years of my graduate work, I worked at financial aid offices for those two institutions. Yeah. The undergraduate, I was more a filer kind of front desk kind of person. But when I was in graduate school working at the financial aid office, my graduate work was at Marshall University in Huntington, West Virginia. And while I was there, they instituted at the financial aid office an 800 number where your entire enrollment process, as far as financial aid is concerned, you could call with questions.
Yeah.
I was one of the first two people to man that line. Yep. Ever. So, you know, they had no idea what the typical questions were going to be, the volume or nothing. It was just two students sitting at this big table hooked up with one end of an 800 number. And, you know, even some of the questions, of course, were FAFSA related, but more of the questions were related to specifics for what Marshall required for their scholarships and, you know, things like that. But you're absolutely right. It always seemed like the people who took news the worst, as far as the information we saw, were always on the higher end of the income bracket.
Yep.
You know, and it's like,
so because they're used to getting what they want.
I guess, you know, we've got these poor people that we can look and see. Financial aid is the only way they're going to be able to go. And we have to give them the lowdown that you're not going to be able to go. And, you know, the conversation, you know, boo-hoo a little bit sometimes. But that was it. No, the average annual income was 7 and 8 digits. And, oh, boy, they would raise beef on the phone like nobody's business. It's like, dog, I'm sitting here. Look, you could get a name on a building at the school. What are you complaining about?
With that call center, of course, and I think it's probably the same with people from any call center. You know, there's certain questions that you just get all the time. Yeah. And so, you know that you go in for the day that you're going to have, there's like the top 10 questions that you know you're going to get that day. You should get them every day. And the number one question that I got was from parents filling out the FAFSA. The first line on the FAFSA, student's last name. Second line on the FAFSA, student's first name. And so the parent would be, they'd get to that. They'd start filling out. They go, call us up. All right. So this says line one, student's last name. Is that my last name or my son's last name? Is your son the student? Yes, he is. It would be his last name.
You're filling it out for the who's going to get the money?
Yep. Right.
Yeah.
That's why it says student's name.
Yeah.
Not parent of student. But yeah. Good times. Good times.
Oh, yeah.
Good time. Now, before that, I think I've told you this before. I worked worked third shift in a factory that manufactured medical tubing.
Yes. Yep.
That was a lot of fun, too. But it was third shift, and we had literally it was a great big old factory that did all kinds of stuff. When it came to medical, not just the tubing, but other various things. But the biggest part of it was the medical tubing. But on third shift, everywhere else in the building was empty. It was just us.
Okay.
And we had like one manager. And eventually I got to the point where I was on the quality control team. And they only needed one on third shift. And all I had to do was once every hour, I had to go over and like take this little thing and measure.
Right.
All right. The tubing is coming out the same thickness all the way around.
Okay.
You know, test like
test like 10 of them. All right. And I go to another line and go, okay, these are sealing correctly. And then I just had to sit around and do nothing until, wow. until the next hour.
Okay.
And actually it was every 2 hours because they had a guy that ran, they called them the extruders.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You'd pour all the little pieces of plastic or whatever the tubes were made out of, the little, I don't remember even what they're called, just like these little dots.
Right.
That are melted.
Microbeads.
And then formed into the tubing. Yeah. They had to check every, so like we had to take turns. 1 hour they would check the tubes.
Okay.
Next hour I would check the tubes. Okay. And so, yeah, I spent a lot of time in the extruder operator's office reading a book.
Okay. Well,
that was a good job. Yeah. The only reason I left that job is because they closed up and moved it to Mexico.
Okay.
So,
where they could pay people far less than what they were paying you for that good yeah. job. Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. But, you know, shouldn't have been paying me to sit around and read a book.
Yeah. Well, you know, they
most, I did, you know, I did maybe really, it seemed like a really weird thing because my job description had me literally working maybe 30 minutes the entire night.
Okay.
Why would they do that?
Some requirement somewhere else that they can say yeah. they're doing it. Check.
Yeah. It's like some medical safety requirement.
Whatever.
Or something.
Yeah. FDAC MPQRL requirement. Yeah.
We had to wear hairnets.
Okay.
I didn't have a beard back then, but if you had a beard, you had to wear a beard net.
Okay.
What's some of your crazier jobs?
Actually, I haven't had a high volume of them. Most of the ones I've had, I just stuck around until I found something better. I was a, what do you call it when you sell stuff on the phone?
Telemarketer.
Yes, I did telemarket. I sold, now, most people nowadays would find this hard to believe, but I sold over the telephone additional phone service for phone lines. Okay,
yeah.
Now these are those hard to figure out things like answering machines that were online, distinctive ringing, that was a good one, call forwarding. You know, all of these concepts that like are
yeah.
part of a chip in these.
Yep.
I mean, it's not,
yep.
but that was right when I first got into telemarketing. That was one of the things. And it was for one of the Baby Bells, Southern Bell or one of my, I forget which one it was. And, you know, it's funny, those features, you never hear anybody talk about having them now. Because
yeah.
they're so ubiquitous on the phone that it's like, well, I don't even think about that. If yeah. I'm not at the office, I just send those calls to my cell phone. And that's called call forwarding. It yeah, yeah. Okay. So
it's crazy when you think about that kind of stuff because, I mean, for example, you used to have to pay for long distance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Big money.
Yeah.
My first cell phone. The best time to make a long distance call was during the week because on Friday and Saturday nights,
yeah.
it went up. It got more
yeah,
expensive to make
up.
Long
yep.
distance calls then. So if you were going to do one, you would do it on Tuesday night or Wednesday, you know, something like that. Yeah. Now, I just pick up the phone and call. I don't know where
yeah.
it is. I don't care. It's
right. You don't even think about it. It's not even some that back then you had to think about that. Okay, is this a local call
yeah.
or is it out of town?
Right.
You
is
know,
it local
God
long
forbid
distance
it's or, yeah, God forbid it's overseas.
International, yeah.
You know, yeah. Calling Canada, you're just like,
oh
nah,
man,
I'll write them a letter.
Yeah.
You know? And then with the first cell phones, of course, you had to pay 25 cents for every text, not just the mm-hmm. ones that you sent. But the ones you received, so you'd get pissed off if somebody sent you a text.
Yep.
And nowadays it's like, why are you calling me? Text me.
Yeah, really. Just text me. Just text me.
Do you remember when the phone companies split apart?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Did you ever have pagers?
I did.
Okay.
And it the first half of the 90s, when I was in the band Larry, we, our first year as a band, we played, I think our bass player, he used to keep record of it. We played like 290 shows in 1 year.
Wow.
And it was getting to a point where, because the bass player, he's the guy that booked all the shows. He would get a call from a club and, hey, can you guys play a show tonight? And so he'd have to try to figure out, you know, nowadays you just pick up your hip, you know, and, but back in the 90s, early 90s, you just couldn't reach out to somebody like that. So we all got it, went in and got pagers.
Okay.
So that he could page us. Hey, we're 911. We're playing a show tonight. You know?
Yeah. Okay. So you remember when the little pagers that just had like 8 or 10 numbers went to the big pagers that were alphanumeric both, and you could actually send words.
Yeah.
They got like, the pagers got like 3 times the size. And okay.
Yeah. Jeez. It's a weird world.
Well, it all steps towards, you know, what we have now, from nothing, basically, to the kind of things this does.
Yeah.
So,
from ching, 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 ching.
Yeah.
Ching, 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 ching. I like seeing the videos online where you'll see these videos where someone, you know, like a Gen X or someone of our age will put a rotary phone in front of their kid and go, show me how to call somebody on this. Show me how to disconnect the call. And they're like, there's not a, you know, trying to figure out a disconnect and stuff like that. I saw a video where a kid goes into his mom and she's just like, what's wrong? And he's holding a tape cassette. And it's in its plastic case. And he goes, how do you open this? He couldn't figure out how to get it open.
Funny. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's memes of stuff like that that go up on Facebook all the time. I'm always a fan of the people will. Hey, Billy. People will never know the difficulty or whatever. And the picture will have a cassette tape and a pencil.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like. It's like, oh, yeah, we remember those.
That was just, you know, I don't want to be one of those guys that's like, well, it was so much better back in our day. But there was just something about sitting down with a stack of tapes or CDs and your tape deck, your double tape deck, your home stereo was like different components. And you would spend all day putting together a mixtape that you might listen to maybe 3 times and then throw in a box and make a new mixtape. Because it was mostly just about listening to the music. And that was almost kind of a good excuse to sit around and listen to the music a mixtape.
Whatever your motivation for making that mixtape that day was gone the next day. So...
That's why
you might listen to it 2 or 3 more times, but you needed a new one because now the mixtape that you want is a different mixtape from what that one was.
Yeah.
And so, the double player so that you could play and record on the, you push both buttons down at the same. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then before that, I distinctly remember being in grade school and a song that I would hear. On the radio, because when you about that time you were at this age where, you know, it's like, I'm really into music and I want to listen to music, but I'm not old enough to have a job and I don't have a car, so I can't go buy records or tapes. I have to depend on my parents for that. So I distinctly remember the song Everybody Wants Some. No, Everybody Wants You by Billy Squire.
Okay.
We had a show on the radio in the evening that would play like the top 10 popular songs. And that song was on there for like 3 nights in a row. So like the 4th night, I got a tape and I put it in the tape deck.
Tape it.
I hit record and pause and just waited for them to, oh, I got the song. But you always had the DJ at the beginning and the DJ at the end. But you'd have tapes with songs like that on there.
Yep. Just the ones you wanted to hear. You didn't have to go through... The rest of the list, the rest of the hour, the, you know, whatever it was you were listening to. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I also remember in, I believe it was 1986 when the first Poison album came out. Look What the Cat Dragged In. Because I had seen the video for Talk Dirty to Me on Headbangers Ball on MTV. And I was hooked.
Okay.
You know, I was, oh, God, I was into hair metal just big time back then. And, but I would have been, I don't think I was 15. I might've been 15. I wasn't driving. And so my mom was going into Walmart one day. And so I went along with her because I had money. I was going to go buy that Poison tape. So we get in the station wagon, we drive and we go in and immediately she gives me the keys because I'm just going to go buy the tape and get back out in the station wagon and listen to it. So I get the tape and I go out the station wagon. She's finishing shopping and I'm looking at the tape cassette and the song that I was really the most excited about, Talk Dirty to Me, which is the one I saw on MTV, was the first song on side two. So I'm like, oh crap, I got to flip it. And my mom's station wagon, the tape deck in it, only had play and fast forward.
Oh,
so I had to put it on side one okay. and just sit there and let it fast forward through the entire side, take it out, flip it over. I mean, I remember when they added the feature to a tape deck where it would flip it over for you. You know, that yes. was like, oh my yep. God, it's flipping the tape for you. You know, yep. you just did take that crap for granted. Now, my kids were asked, one of my kids was asking me a few months back about MTV. Cause I think I was watching music videos on YouTube. I have certain playlists and she was like, so explain MTV to me. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? She says, well, I mean, if you wanted, was there like, could you see what time the different songs were on? No, it was like the radio, but on TV you had, if you wanted to watch a certain video, you had to sit in front of right. that TV and hope they played that video at some point during the day.
Yeah, but you had no idea if they would. I mean,
yeah, yeah. She's really hard for her to grasp that concept.
Well, and you know that's kind of something that, well, isn't that the kind of thing that parents typically strive for their children is to not for the kids to not have it as difficult as yep. we did, and so. Yep. You know, we parents always seem to be in favor of certain kind of advances because we remember when we were kids, if we'd had that technology, oh, it would have been so cool. So we want our kids to be able to have that technology, yeah. whatever it would be. Yeah. So that's.
Yeah. It's like on the one hand, I'm just so thrilled that they are able to watch or listen to whatever they want to. It's right there. They don't have to work hard to get it. But on the other hand, it's like you almost appreciate it just a little bit more
exactly.
when you have to work for it.
You don't know what it's like waiting for that top movie to get to yep. the television so you can watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and my daughter's in just right over here in the next room. She's going to hear me talking about her. But she just recently got her first job.
Cool.
And okay. She had to work Sunday night and she's really into Bob's Burgers. It's her favorite show in the world.
And I'm assuming it's on Sunday nights.
It's on Sunday nights. We watch it through YouTube TV. So we watch we watch it live when it's broadcast.
Right.
Well, she couldn't watch it the other night because it wasn't. I think she was home, but something about YouTube TV wasn't working. And so she was just so bummed. Oh, I can't watch it. And my wife was like, yeah, that sucks. And then my wife kind of went, but you can watch it tomorrow on Hulu. You know, when I was a kid, if I missed a show, I had to hope it was going to come back
yeah.
through the rerun over the summer or in syndication.
Yeah.
You know, no you doubt. Just got to wait till tomorrow.
If you yeah. even have to wait, depending yeah. on what it is, yeah. it may immediately go to the playback yeah. section, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man, catching a TV show. Now, that was... You know, because our seasons ran like they do now, you know, 20 to 25 week seasons. They began and ended. And then if you missed episode 8, when the show started rerunning, who knows? They would rerun episodes all over the place. They wouldn't yeah. do a season.
Or if they'd go on like a mid-season break like they do and then... during the mid-season break, they move the schedule. So it's no longer playing on Sundays at 7. It's on Wednesdays at 8. And you don't know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, there were shows that I thought just disappeared and didn't realize they were just on a different night because I was watching something else.
They had six more seasons. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, there you go. Wasn't that a bit of fun? This part of the episode, by the way, that, you know, you're listening to right now, this me speaking, this was recorded in August, just a couple of days ago, not in April, like most of the rest of the episode. Anyway, next week, you'll get the rest of what Ed and I recorded back in April, which is just two guys talking about all sorts of things. I mean, pretty much everything except Golden Age Superman, because you get enough of that on the Superman Super Show. Am I right?
Am I right or am I right or am I right? Right, right, right.
But yeah, that's something to look forward to next week, right?
Right, right, right.
I hope so. Until then, folks, my name is Steven, and I'm just another fanboy. Be nice to each other. The Just Another Fanboy podcast is a Steven or Else production. Questions and comments can be directed to justanotherfanboy@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram by searching for @StevenOrElse, and then come join in on all the fun at the Just Another Fanboy message boards at forum.justanotherfanboy.com. You can support the show for as little as $1 a month over at the Patreon by going to patreon.com/StevenROr, and in return, I am going to do my very best to get you and your fellow patrons episodes just like this one before anybody else. I also encourage you to rate the show wherever available and share this episode with a friend. All links will be in the show notes.
Bye-bye, Daddy.
Bye-bye, Daddy.
Good job.
We surveyed 100 people and asked them to name a way of toasting someone. Michelle.
Over a fire.
I'll tell you what. If it's up there, I'll give you the money myself.